All right, Roy Knightlock Jr. here, and we are talking money as we always do every single week. That's what I do. I've been talking money for 36 years. I'm not old enough to be doing that. I mean, 36 years of talking money, and I'm still excited about it. I mean, one of the most important things you can do is find something you like, that you enjoy doing, and then get great at it because you like it. You know, I get up every morning and I read all the time, and I'm always thinking about things that you can do. And one of the things that you might want to consider right now is that child tax credit that's coming out, that it begins in July, and the first payments between $250 and $300 a month that are going to go on for 6 months. Many, many of you, this is just extra money. You know, the idea is it's giving you a little relief and stuff like that. But if you're making several hundred thousand dollars a year, this should be extra money. I would encourage you, call RoyMatlockJr.com or go to RoyMatlockJr.com or call us at 615-843-2999 and set up a 529 plan or an educational savings account or do something like that. There's so much information out there right now about what would happen if you just save the child tax credit. Well, let's save it, you know, and let's invest it and put it aside so your kids can do well. Again, visit RoyMatlockJr.com to schedule a no-risk 15-minute phone call, or you can call us at 615-843-2999. As we came back into the break, six focus points. First focus point, winning in money, and that is a positive attitude and a winning mindset. So we're going to get our attitude right. We're going to count our blessings. We're going to, you know, look at all the good things that are going on. And once we get our attitude right and all the good things that are happening that we do have, and trust me, there can be a lot worse things than any of your situation. God told me one time, you have problems and you have situations. And situations usually can be fixed with money, all right? Problems are, you know, something you can't fix with money. So if you don't have real problems, you just have situations, start working on your attitude and count your blessings, find out where you're at. Okay, really, you got a pretty good life. Most of us do. That if you're listening in right now, chances are you got a pretty good life. I mean, that's the kind of people that are up here on listening in to shows like this because they're trying to move forward and that kind of thing. And so then we go into protecting ourselves from disaster. I talked about getting a budget set up. You can go to our website and download the budget forms. And also, I've got a whole series. I think it's almost two shows just on budgets. On how to set up a budget that works. Then we get an emergency fund. That's the second part of the defense and protecting ourselves from disaster. The third one involves insurance. So let's talk about what do we do for the insurance side to protect against disaster. Well, you know, we have proper liability insurance in the event we're in a wreck or we get sued, you know, anything like that. So you buy liability insurance, you buy umbrella insurance, you do those kind of things to protect you against lawsuits. You buy, you know, home and auto insurance in order to, you know, protect if you have a fire or a wreck or anything like that. And I would recommend when you're doing that is as you develop your emergency fund, look at raising your deductibles, which allows you to cut your cost and you become more self-insured. I remember I had a fairly expensive car and fast car. I love fast cars. And the liability insurance was reasonable, but the collision insurance was very expensive. And I had plenty of cash set aside, so I dropped the collision insurance. And when I did that, I was saving almost $300 a month. I did that, you know, for 4 years before I sold the car. I was betting on the fact that, hey, if I have a wreck, it's not going to cost that much. And number two, I can't afford it. And so I operated that way for a long time. So anyway, so you want to do that. You have health insurance. You can also raise your deductibles. If you're self-employed, consider maybe a health savings account or even a catastrophic plan where you have high deductibles. I've had for many, many years $7,500 deductibles on my health insurance. And so, you know, when everybody's whining about their health insurance pricing, you know what I do? I go negotiate. I remember I went in to get an MRI done. It was $1,700 if they turned it into insurance. And when I paid cash, it was a little over $400. And so, you know, if I have a big disaster, hey, I've got my, you know, high deductible and my big limits on the health insurance. So we do that. You may consider as you get as your income is going on, you may consider disability insurance. I think disability income, you have to, in many cases, you get it through your employer and make sure that you buy the type that's necessary for you. I'll give you an example. One is if you're disabled. The one is if you can't do your job. So if you're a high income earner, say you've got a specific skill, you're a surgeon or a doctor, something like that, and you are healthy, but you can't do your job, then you want to buy the specific insurance, disability income insurance, that will protect you. Even though you can work at a low wage, but you can't do what you're trained for, so that's one way. And then the other is just pure disability. We also look at long-term care insurance. If we're at or near retirement, that's the time you purchase that. That will insure you in the event you go in a nursing home or you have assisted living home health care. It covers a lot of those things. You can buy portions of that insurance, which allow you to somewhat self-insure, depending on where you're at. What I always try to do is look at someone when I meet with them. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look at what their burn rate is. And what I mean by their burn rate, the burn rate is the amount of money that you're spending compared to the amount of money that you have saved. And we want to have a burn rate of about 20 to 25 times the amount we spend. If we do that, we'll never run out of money. But if we have a burn rate and you're retiring and you've got 13 years of income and you're trying to retire, well, your burn rate's going to be pretty high. And so if you look at that, you may say, well, hey, I don't think I have the ability to withstand two households, meaning a nursing home stay and my own household. It'll blow through my money. So I might consider long-term care insurance. And so we've got all these different things that allow us to protect. So think in terms of insurance as protection. We pay a premium in order to protect. Even when it comes to your investments, people will spend money in order to protect their investments. They'll go in and they'll buy annuities that have lifetime income guarantees, and they'll go to the bank and get FDIC. So everybody buys, spends money on some type of insurance. But the idea is, what if you could get so financially bulletproof that you don't need insurance anymore because you're bulletproof? You got so much cash, you're never going to run out of it. Then at that point, you raise your deductibles. You may not even keep it. If you get to a point where you've got, plenty of money, you drop your life insurance because term life insurance is income protection. And if you have got an income stream coming in as a result of investments, then you realistically don't need insurance. I meet with a lot of people, clients of mine that have been around with me for years, and hey, they got plenty of money. Okay, they're making money, and their investments are more than enough to cover all their expenses. And I tell them, I said, look, no reason to keep insurance. Okay, life insurance, you can drop it or at least take it down to very little, if you want to do that. The only reason that I tell people to keep it is if, hey, let's say that you're in poor health and you can renew it. Well, then you look at your insurance plan as a investment type thing. You're paying X number of dollars a month for a death benefit. Keep it, and then one day, I wish we lived forever, but one day we're going to pass away. And if we're in poor health, we have less chance of living longer. And you know what? You pay $300 a month and you get a $300,000 death benefit that goes to your family and you leave something behind. I mean, that's what people do. So now we do that. We have three defensive positions. We have the budget. We have the emergency fund. We have the proper insurance. Oh, by the way, 50% of the population doesn't have life insurance. It just blows my mind. And if you go onto the GoFundMe type page and look at what they're doing, I think the average raise is about $800. And you'll see pictures of the wife and two kids or husband with two kids, and they raise $1,000 or something like that because they didn't buy term life insurance. And if you're buying life insurance, always buy term. Never buy anything that builds up cash value. Bad deal. Always been a bad deal. The last piece of the puzzle, which we're going to get into, and that's how to get out of debt, eliminating the bad debt and having good debt. Debt can be good. You just got to have the right kind of debt. Don't buy into this no debt program. I mean, I've been there, done that. I know all about that kind of deal. I grew up Dave Ramsey and I were partners on the radio show for a number of years, 7-8 years. And back when we were talking about paying debt off, that was when we had 6-7% mortgages. Some of them are as much as 10% mortgages. Today it's different. So With that, we're going to get into, when we come back, I'm going to talk about reducing debt, how to get out of debt and do the right thing. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Again, visit RoyMatlockJr.com for all our resources. And stay tuned with me. We'll be right back.